Good morning, I'm Alisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday edition, and it's the beginning of the year. It's still the beginning of the year. Even if it were March, I'd still say it's the beginning of the year because we'd be in the first quarter. But regardless, this is January, and I know recently, within the last few days, I think, the bills came, I read, for all the credit card debt and all of that from the holiday season. People are thinking about money. You're getting your W-2s, you're getting your forms ready to file your taxes, and we're all starting probably more than we want to think about money. What did we spend? Where's our money going? What's our personal outlook? And when we look at that, we can't help but look at what's going on around us in the city, in the state, across the country when we're talking about the economy. Because what we do, believe it or not, folks, affects the economic outlook for everybody else. It's a pretty interesting ripple effect. To dumb it down for me, not for you guys because I know you understand it, but Andy Malik with O'Keefe is going to put things in lay people's terms about our economy, about some of the scary things we've heard, weird words and projections and all that stuff that I really don't understand. That's why we have people like Andy Malik and O'Keefe to help guide us through. You're a partner, you're an economist, you know all the things that I don't, Andy, so good morning to you.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
I'm very, very well. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you're here because we're all immersed in the news every day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially nowadays with technology. I mean, not only radio, TV, but also the phone and podcasts. So absolutely.
So we're hearing so many things. We're hearing about interest rates. The feds are going to increase interest rates twice this year. Some people say, well, the first one will be good, but by the second one, they're going to regret doing it. What does that even mean? Can you explain what it means when the feds increase interest rates? Why do we as the lay people care?
Absolutely. So an increase in the interest rates, when the Fed raises interest rates, ultimately what the Federal Reserve is trying to do is implement a slowing of the economy. So what happens is when those interest rates rise, it makes things more expensive for consumers.
Okay.
So for example, if one was looking to buy a home, your mortgage would increase because your mortgage interest rate would ultimately go up.
Okay, that makes sense.
Credit cards. You know, you spoke earlier as segueing into our segment here about credit cards. And so now you have folks coming off of the holiday season and going to the mailbox, opening
up the
bills.
Afraid to open the mailbox.
Or they get the email that says that you know, their bill is due, and they look at it. Well, ultimately, that can lead to higher rates there as well. So it's the cost to the consumer that ultimately will increase. And so what the Fed is ultimately looking to do when they raise rates is to slow down the economy.
Why would we want to slow the economy? Because that right there doesn't seem to make sense, does it?
Well, it's a tricky balance. And if you look at our economy, we are in this current expansion that we have. In other words, the growth that we have seen as an economy, it's the second longest in U.S. history behind the expansion that we saw that preceded the 2001 recession. So we're talking about a very long growth period.
Right.
Here. Now, to your point, one of the interesting items that we see with this economic expansion is our economic growth rates are much lower than historical post-recession periods, and it's one of the weakest recoveries from a recession that we've seen since World War II.
Okay, but all of these things seem to contradict one another, don't they? Okay, we have an expansion. There's been a longer period of growth since before the recession in 2001, but we're not growing. I mean, it just, they seem to be counter-indicated, and it gets a little confusing. Are we trying to slow it so we don't crash and burn afterward?
Well, we're trying. The Federal Reserve has recently said they're going to look at the economy and they'll monitor if, in fact, they need to continue to raise rates or not, which is ultimately hedging to say, you know, look, if I need to, if they need to, they will. If they don't need to, then they won't.
Okay.
But it is tricky because if you look at our economy and having the slowest growth from an expansionary period post the last recession, and you look at, for example, you mentioned the debt. I mean, our debt levels, our consumer debt is lower, but it's still high. If you look at, there's a ratio of the debt to income, and it's basically for every dollar in income, there's a dollar in debt, which that's a lot of debt. You know,
it's
so,
a real lot of debt.
Right. And of course, from an economic standpoint, the about 80% of the economy is made up of consumption spending.
Okay.
A lot of that is done on credit cards. And so one wonders how much of that those purchases are done and bought with things that maybe someone doesn't need, and are they buying it on debt where they can't afford to pay those off?
Right.
That becomes a real issue.
What happens? Then what happens when they can't pay it off and they go into default and things get closed off and you have bankruptcies and you have people losing all kinds of things?
Oh, that's absolutely right. You know, I saw an interesting statistic not too long ago, and the real wage rate, in other words, the wages that, you know, folks work and they will get whatever payroll that they take home, but in terms of when you relate it to the inflation, so mm-hmm. that's a real wage growth, is the wage keeping up with inflation? We just saw an increase in the real wage growth, but it's the first time that it increased in about 7 years.
Right.
So you think about that. So somebody's wages have not increased in 7 years.
Wow. So they're in a hole.
Pretty much, if you consider the fact that prices are rising and they're just barely keeping up with that inflationary.
Right.
Yeah.
What if minimum wage goes up to $15 an hour?
Well, you know, so minimum wage is always an interesting aspect because it's, you know, you'll have some economists that will say that will lead to more unemployment because you think about,
right,
you know, which businesses are the ones that offer up minimum wage. And so certainly, you know, I think of the pizza places come to mind.
Exactly. The fast food joints and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And so that
is great first jobs for people, but some people unfortunately also end up needing to make that their vocation.
Oh, right, right. And so what happens is there's ultimately will be less of those jobs around. And so those people may have a higher minimum wage that they'll be able to attain, but they'll be competing with less of those jobs available.
Right.
To get those jobs.
So where's the balance in that? And I'm not saying people don't deserve to earn that, but if you're starting from, let's say, here in Michigan, what's minimum wage now?
I don't recall the number, but
It's way lower than 10, though, right? It's like 8
it's
something,
not a lot.
Maybe?
You know, it's not a lot.
Right. So if they're jumping from let's say, 8-ish, 8.50, I could be making it up, but to 15, and again, not that people don't deserve that, but how can a small business, for example, that relies on hourly workers, how can they manage that?
Well, and ultimately they cannot.
Right.
Because what happens is if you think about those small places where they're having a hard time, the owners, just being able to take a compensation and pay for their own bills.
Yes.
And when you, so any increase in that ultimately is not allowing them to make it worthwhile to even operate the business.
This gets, money gets so messy, Andy. It just gets so messy.
It can.
It certainly can. It's a little bit scary. So let's take a look, please, at our partial government shutdown. When we're looking at week after week after week of people going without a paycheck, a couple of paychecks in a row, it was said a few days back that the cost of the shutdown is already more than the amount being asked for the barrier along the border. How much does a shutdown cost us? And thank goodness it wasn't a full government shutdown, I can only imagine. But when we're looking at 800,000 people and the ripple effect of what they cannot purchase, cannot pay for, that's got to kind of boggle the mind as well, right?
Absolutely, because it is a multiplier effect. You know, first, it's sad that you have the government shutdown in place that we have. And secondly, you have individuals going to work and not getting paid. You know, I just saw on the news this morning, it's now the second paycheck.
Exactly. We just passed that a few days ago.
Right. Or lack thereof.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you have individuals who are working other jobs and then calling in sick to not show up to be able to make ends meet and, you know, looking for assistance for food pantries and things of this sort. And it's just sad we got to that situation as we have it.
Yes, and it's costing us, and I'm not a politician, and I'm not being on either side of the aisle, or as the kids would say, I'm not being any kind of way. It's just very difficult to fathom the ripple effect of what this is and will continue to cost our economy, because it's going to take some time for people to then get turned around as well. And it affects the small businesses whose some of their staple folks are not coming in. When you get to the communities that have a lot of federal workers within D.C., within Maryland and South Carolina, in Michigan, we have a lot of federal workers here. And the places they frequent are losing because people can't go in there and spend their dollars. It's just been a very scary time lately, Andy. Can you give me hope, or we just go, okay, we pray?
Well, I think eventually the shutdown has to end, because you can't shut down the government forever here, even though it's partial shutdown. But I think you eloquently stated that, and I go back to the pizza place. So you have, let's say you've got a family, and normally maybe they would order a pizza a week or go, right. And they can't do that now. So then that owner of the pizza establishment is losing not only their business, but everyone else's business.
Right.
And then what they would have bought with those monies are then going to purchase something from the neighboring establishment. So I kind of call it the regional economic domino.
Right,
effect.
Right.
And it will have a cost on the economy.
Yes.
It will ultimately see that in the cost of the economy. So hopefully that gets straightened out soon.
Here's hoping. Is there a dictionary definition that you can explain to me? What is the economic index?
Yeah, the economic index, and there's a lot of different varying levels of these indices, but ultimately what that is they're indicators in terms of where the economy is going. So
okay.
They're made up of different types.
I thought you were saying they're just made
factors.
Up.
Well, they're made up, but they're thoughtfully made up. But economists have went over the years and looked at, for example, leading economic indicators. They put in there things that could point to a positive sign for the economy,
okay,
or a negative sign for the economy. And so one of them would be consumer confidence,
okay,
for example, where now we have consumers very confident in terms of where the economy is going. But I did hear a recent survey point that came out that said that now people are beginning to start to get wary again.
Why? And how does this all flip around? And what do we need to do to right that ship in 3 minutes or less, right?
Well, so on the consumer confident side of the coin, what that's saying is, consumers are observing the economy, trying to figure out in their mind whether or not they can spend that income or
okay.
not. And, you look to the stock market, which we've had over the last several years, the stock market has done very well. However, anyone who observed the stock market at the end of last year saw a significant decline.
Yes.
For which now those declines have pretty much been made up again. So the volatility, it's one of those where
that's what's scary. Though.
It is scary, and it is scary because you're looking at that, and one is asking the question, how am I okay to spend that money or not?
Right, and we don't know, which I think is why people get wary and things change with consumer confidence, which then affects the economic index and so on and so on and so on. Right.
That's exactly right.
Oh. How do you do this every day for a living?
Well, you read, you continue to read, and then you ask yourself questions about, where it's going.
I guess those are very good answers, because that's what you have to do. We're going to pause for a moment. When we come back, we have a lot more to talk about. I'd like to talk about the housing market and household income and debt and spending and all those fun things. Will you stay with me a little longer, please?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Andy Malik with O'Keefe. Thank you for spending your morning here with us as well. Once again, I'm Elisa Z. You're listening to the Sunday Edition.